Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. And today we are going to be speaking Stephen Gowans, who has posted a new article on What's Left. And the title is The Politics of the Wuhan Lab Leak Hypothesis. This is published May 29. Stephen is with us. How are you doing, Stephen?
Doing well, Phil. Thank you.
My goodness. This is, your title is quite right. The Politics of the Wuhan Lab Leak Hypothesis. I noticed the Globe and Mail, the Toronto Star, Prime Minister Trudeau, almost every columnist I can turn to, and all the interviews now being conducted on the CBC reflect a dramatic shift in what I guess we could call liberal opinion. And they've gone from saying that that there was no Wuhan leak to now they all appear to be of the opinion that something must have happened and that we have to get to the bottom of it. You begin your article by saying that President Joe Biden has ordered a hunt for new intelligence to determine whether the Chinese government covered up an accidental leak. And in the, together with that, he said that his reason for doing so, telling his intelligence people, who, as we all know, these are crack people, they never make a mistake. He's given them 90 days, which that's the way to produce good results. And he wants to know about this because he wants to prevent a future accident of this kind. And you use that as a launching point to a very broad discussion, an in-depth one too, of how we treat research into biolabs. Talk about that. Do you have a difference with Joe Biden's approach? And what do you make of his approach?
The reason I call this the politics of the Wuhan lab hypothesis was because if Joe Biden was doing what he was actually doing, what he claims to be doing, which is trying to reduce the risks of another or future pandemics, he wouldn't be going about it in the way he is. So to reduce the chance of a future pandemic, what we want to do is look at how to reduce what's called zoonotic spillover. So the transfer of a virus or a bacterium, a pathogen from one species to, from some species to humans. And there are two ways to do that. You can reduce the likelihood of a zoonotic spillover happening in nature. And there, you could also reduce the likelihood of it happening in a lab. So it could happen in a laboratory. And it turns out there are dozens and dozens of laboratories throughout the world that are working with live viruses, many of which have been collected. We've heard about, you know, the Chinese researchers collecting coronaviruses from bats and bringing them back into the lab. Well, these viruses circulate throughout the world to various laboratories. And there are concerns that have been raised about the work that is being done in labs. And the concerns are that the live virus escapes, and the way it escapes is through an accidental infection of a scientist. Scientist doesn't know that he or she, they are infected and goes out into the community and spreads it to others. And this has happened previously on three occasions, at least up to 2012 and perhaps more occasional since, SARS has leaked from some of these virological laboratories. And in one of the cases, SARS was transmitted from a scientist who had been accidentally infected to her mother, and her mother died.
Can you tell me where did these three that you're talking about, where did they take place?
Well, they took place in China, but there are laboratories throughout the world doing work with viruses, with live viruses. There have been warnings published in the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientist about this kind of work, saying, you know, the probability of viruses leaking are very, very small, but the consequence of a leak are enormous, because the consequence could be a world or a pandemic in which millions of people are killed. So do we want to accept that risk? Is that risk acceptable? And one analysis presented in the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientist said, let's suppose that the probability of a leak happening in any one laboratory is very, very small. In a year, we'll say it's 0.003%, or something like 0.3%. Well, given that there are dozens and dozens of laboratories doing this work, what's the probability of having at least one leak? Well, based on the estimates of the scientists, the probability was quite high that you would have at least one leak in, say, every 12 years. So there are very legitimate concerns and questions about whether working with live viruses in these laboratories are the risks are acceptable. One scientist points out that this is equivalent to looking for a natural gas leak with a lit match.
By the way, I have to stop you there. I was fascinated by that terminology. What does he mean, looking with a lit match? If you were looking, why do you have a lit match?
Yeah, so what they're doing is they're looking for viruses in other species. And they're bringing them back into the laboratory to study them, sometimes to make them more pathogenic, so even more dangerous, as a way of studying what might happen if they mutate or how humans would react to them. And, you know, doing a lot of research, the benefit of which is allegedly to help us deal with zoonotic spillovers if they happen. But that's the idea. So there's a chance of a zoonotic spillover happening in nature. So that could be equivalent to a gas leak. And so we look around for these viruses and other species to study them. But in doing so, we run the risk that we bring them back into the lab and we have accidental infections, and the scientist takes or becomes infected and spreads it to people outside the lab.
Mm-hmm.
For other labs, as I said, there are dozens and dozens of labs doing this work, not all in China. There are labs in the United States. And part of this research that, or the questions that have been brought up about whether these risks are acceptable have pertained mainly to US labs. And a number of US labs have been shut down for various violations of biosafety codes. One of them is Fort Detrick being a US military base where they do work on pathogens. And it has been closed down in a number of occasions. In the autumn of 2019, it was closed down by the Center for Disease Control on grounds that there were safety violations and concerns.
And it's currently down, and perhaps it gets raised, the subject of Fort Detrick. I get the impression it's nearly shut down. I mean, like off the grid or whatever.
It was shut down completely. It was opened again at the end of December. But I mean, there are a number of lab leaks that have happened at various labs. So the whole idea of a lab leak happening in the Wuhan lab is not completely outlandish.
Yeah.
But this raises the question, though, if you're really interested in reducing the probability of a zoonotic spillover happening in a lab, how do you go about it? Do you look at all of the labs doing research? Do you look at the safety protocols? Do you have a discussion about whether these the risks that are being taken are acceptable? Or do you single out a specific laboratory and only talk about that particular laboratory, which is exactly what Biden has done? And, you know, Biden and now the Western news media and others, they want it both ways. They want to present the Wuhan lab leak hypothesis as worthy of consideration, while at the same time acknowledging there's no evidence. Now, I should say,
yes,
evidence of lab leaks. So there could have been a lab leak at the Wuhan laboratory, but there is no evidence of it. And Biden acknowledges this. The Western news media acknowledge it.
That's why he's given his scientists 90 days, pardon me, his scientists, his police force, 90 days to answer the question for him.
Right. And, you know, if there's no evidence, then how can the hypothesis be worthy of consideration? And they're trying to present themselves as honest while they're being dishonest. So they present themselves as honest by saying, yeah, you know, there's no evidence of a leak at the Wuhan lab, while at the same time presenting the hypothesis as credible by investigating it.
Yes.
I think the aim of doing so is to insinuate that where there's smoke, there's fire. What's more, they say there's no evidence for China's allegation that the virus could have leaked from the Fort Detrick lab. And therefore, the allegation is unworthy of consideration. So there's a complete standard here.
Yes.
I say if you're going to investigate the Wuhan lab leak hypothesis, despite the lack of evidence, then it seems perfectly fair and reasonable to investigate the Fort Detrick lab hypothesis.
And I have to ask you there, because we were part of this process that is being pushed now, and by I would think in 10 days they would be in full flight and everybody, the posse being formed. But this involves a demonization of international bodies which are required to have a transparent and open process where the various scientists have equal standing. I'm not aware of the United States ever inviting the World Health Organization to come and visit Fort Detrick. The World Health Organization did, in fact, visit the Wuhan lab. And the Toronto Star tells me that that was just a bunch of obfuscation. I'd like to know how he knows that. And you just said, I mean, look, you have a bunch of labs. I would think every human being ought to be concerned about labs. I wouldn't want one next door personally, but you'd want to put them all on out in front of you, right? And say, okay, let's have a look. Are there, I have to ask you, are there treaties? I think if I understand the, like you quote Lynn Klotz of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, aren't they, they're the ones who you know, try to get proper treaties in place, atomic weapons, et cetera, so that there's transparency and a proper, and you can scrutinize these bodies and people engaging in extremely dangerous work.
Yeah, I mean, there ought to be, and there ought to be a discussion about the acceptability of the risk that's being taken. Now, there has been some discussion within the scientific community, and the scientific community hasn't arrived at a consensus. There are some who say this is acceptable and we should be able to do this work, and other scientists would say the risks are unacceptable, and then others who point out quite cogently that you can't let scientists decide this. Because scientists have a vested interest in this particular matter. It's something to be discussed by all people since the consequences are so immense,
yes,
of lab leaks occurring. But I mean, something that you were saying about the news media, I should reiterate or echo. I mean, they present the Wuhan lab leak hypothesis as true. That's the way it's framed. And the role of the investigation is to gather the proof. In other words, we start with the conclusion and we're supposed to work backwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, if
we lock up the suspect and go get the evidence.
Yeah, so the New York Times can say it's unlikely that the US intelligence community will find a smoking gun, which is what they've said. But then the implication is, it's not because the gun was never shot, but because the shooter has done such a good job of concealing the smoke.
Yes.
And they've almost lamented that, well, we'll never get a definitive evidence because this could only be, we could only have definitive evidence if someone steps forward to acknowledge that this has happened, and no one's going to step forward.
Yeah, by the way, shouldn't we remind people that when they began this thing with Saddam Hussein, they said, he's got these things. And he said, I don't. And they said, well, we know he does. And the answer to the problem was, and this is a phrase I have from Joe Biden when he was the candidate, and our own General Dallaire, they use the same phrase, we have to go in there.
Yes.
How is it possible to, well, I mean, unless you are a Colonel Blimp, good old time colonialist, what are you talking about going in? And you're the bearer of all truth? I'm supposed to follow Blimp in his short pants into another country?
Yeah, I know. Yes. And you're right. When Biden was a candidate, he made that point. I mean, we should walk right into China and we should tell them this and we should do that.
Yes. Incidentally, I mean, you know, your book on Korea, I think, brought this out. Chemical weapons were used by the Americans in the Korean War.
Yes, and there's some suggestion and evidence that biological weapons.
I'm sorry, I meant to say also biological. Yes.
Yeah.
And Japan during World War II used biological, and we know we're heavy into biological research and experimenting on Chinese prisoners.
Yes.
I mean, we definitely are the people that need to look into these things.
Yes, absolutely. But, yeah. But I mean, you know, my method to thinking about these allegations, you know, allegations not only of the lab leak, but of other things like genocide against the Uyghurs, is to treat them as if I'm a judge in court. And the first thing I'm going to do is ask, how do I test the veracity of these allegations? And one way is to consider the source. And talking about either the genocide or the lab leak, I mean, it's the US government or people associated with it who are the source of the allegations. So the next question is the source credible? We certainly know it's not impartial, because the US government regards China as a competitor, so it has an interest in harming China's reputation. And we also know that it has a history of perjury in the court of public affairs. I mean, it perjured itself when it said Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, perjured itself when it said there was a genocide in progress in Kosovo in 1999, and has perjured itself on innumerable occasions. So it has a history of being an unreliable source. And given that the source of the allegations is not a disinterested party, and given that it is a record of false testimony, the allegations are not worthy of consideration. For the same reason that the Americans say that the Chinese allegations about Fort Detrick are not worthy of consideration, for exactly the same reason. So, if those allegations are not worthy, well, then neither are the allegations of the United States. But as I said, they want it both ways. They want to say there's no evidence, but we should take this seriously.
Yes, but and also there is, I can't find better words than colonial. I suppose I could say racist, but this idea that truth can only exist in our circles, in Western Anglo-American rule of law, true democracies are the only people who can make any accurate determination. And it strikes me that Biden's strategy is to own all these subjects, to get them under proper control and direction. I mean, in the, you notice in this process that they are, they've already all agreed to just run over the World Health Organization. Just run over, it is obviously in the back pocket of the president of China and all that kind of thinking. So the only people who get to solve the problem are, you know, Washington, London. I guess they talk to Ottawa, I don't know.
Well, yeah, and that's a key too to the reason why this is politics and has nothing to do with learning about how to avoid future pandemics. And that is, what is it that Biden says he wants to investigate? He wants to investigate whether the Chinese covered up a leak at the lab. Well, how does that help you prevent future pandemics? It has nothing to do with future pandemics. It has to do with blackening the reputation of the country you call a competitor.
There's a devil on that pin. How many angels on the pin? How many devils? I noticed, I was watching Mr. Frum do his routine, and he said, you see, Biden is different from Trump. Trump said that they did it deliberately. And Biden says that he doesn't know whether or not they did it deliberately, or even if it happened. But actually, as I go back, that wasn't the deliberate business. Didn't have a lot to do with it, but I mean, but you can see where they want to go with this.
Well, and I think the outcome of the intelligence community investigation may be the kind of assessment we've seen in the past with Russiagate and allegations of Syrian chemical weapons attacks, namely that you'll have some elements of the U.S. intelligence community will produce a document that says, well, we have no proof. We assess that the novel coronavirus leaked from the Wuhan lab and that Chinese authorities covered it up. And then if this plays out as it has in the past with those other issues, the news media will report that the US intelligence community has concluded that the Wuhan laboratory was the source of the pandemic without mentioning the key qualifier that this conclusion is based on no proof. I mean, that's what they did with Syrian chemical weapons. If you read their assessments, they said, this is what we assess. We have no smoking gun, but we believe this is the kind of thing that the Syrians would do.
And yes, I think we're inclined to think it's likely. Likely turns in, well, if it's likely, it's probably so. And they also, they always, at the end of the day, I mean, it's a very aggressive posture because they say, we won't know till we go there. And so that government has to go because it's a lying, obfuscating group of people. And we will have to get them out of the way. And then at the end, then we'll know. Recall the pictures of the New York Times reporters standing around looking while the researchers were digging holes outside Baghdad and finding nothing in the holes. But you see, they were there, they were on a scene, I love the way they wrapped it all up. Well, turns out he didn't have them, but he wasn't any good anyway. And you know, that really works because they've already demonized who they're dealing with. So the, you know, one day they'll say, what do you know? It actually didn't exist. But we got the bad guy.
Yes.
This is Stephen Cowens. I forgot to remind everybody, and it's What's Left. Again, the U.S. has been walking away from every blasted treaty, which involves, open skies, the nuclear issues. They're walking away from all these things. They even left the World Health Organization for a little while. You've identified something which, you know, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists are on. You know, we do actually have an issue of these bioweapon sites or bioresearch that are, but as far as I gather, correct me if I'm wrong, there doesn't seem to be actual treaty controlling them where there's Russia talks to the U.S., U.S. talks to China. Do they have that kind of coordination about their sites?
Not that I'm aware. Oh, perhaps there is, but I'm not aware of it.
Well, let me ask you this then. I notice the Chinese say something I never hear the Americans answer. Although, by the way, it has been in the news. You probably have thoughts about it. The Chinese say that the Americans, they're kind of cute about their bio labs. They have 200 outside the continental U.S. 200. Mm. I think they say are in Poland. I don't know that it's anybody nailed it down. Poland, Ukraine has some.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody know is there a Fort Dietrich out there in Ukraine? Does anybody know the name? Can I go knock on the door and ask them what they're doing? And why would they put them there? Have you thought about that? Help us out.
I know that seems pretty obvious. But I mean, this again challenges the notion that Biden has any interest in addressing the issue of how you reduce the risks of zoonotic spillover, because all of those bioweapons labs present a risk. And there are many, many bioweapons labs. So there's always the risk of leakage, and we know leakage happens because it's been documented. So if he's truly interested in preventing future pandemics, he ought to be looking at that and not playing this political game in which he's trying to tar a country he regards as a U.S. competitor.
And if presuming there was a government in Canada that was independent, not a vassal, not a slave, not a follower, it's in our Canadian interest to ask, could somebody put little red dots on the map where the 200 labs are? And my guess is that some of the places where those labs exist are politically unstable. I don't know what's going on in the lab, but they're not the most comfortable. Not every country is as happy and getting along the way we are.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I wonder if we have any labs, any of those 200. We have this lab in Calgary that the Globe and Mail is very anxious to remove Chinese from. I have a headline, by the way. I want you to analyze the headline. It says, scientists at high security lab collaborated with China. So I wanted to rewrite the headline. Scientists at high security lab collaborated with Canada.
Yes. Okay.
Incidentally, there are Americans who worked at Wuhan,
mm-hmm.
and maybe still do, right? I mean, they've got their story sort of rolling along without somebody saying, well, wait a minute, some of our personnel are there. So what are they, spies? Who are they working for? Us? Them? You know, when they divide the room with demonology, I mean, scientists always are the first birds in the, you know, the tunnel to become uncomfortable because they're just doing scientific work, right?
Yeah, and it's part of the campaign of deeming the Chinese as an enemy now and pointing to all Chinese people as somehow being fifth columnists of China. I mean, engaged in some kind of conspiracy to steal intellectual property and gather intelligence and so on.
Yeah, and actually, and the attacks on the World Health Organization, all this is rather like what was talked about the Catholic Church in the old days, where you could get in trouble doing scientific work.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be where we're headed. I mean, Joe McCarthy definitely destroyed a lot of scientific careers, and one assumes, important research in science often benefits humankind. So we were done out of whatever it was they were doing because Joe didn't think we should know that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the United States will attack any organization that is not completely under its control and that does not do its bidding. So that's the World Health Organization. And I mean, the United States has made various complaints at times about the Security Council, because the Security Council doesn't always comply with U.S. wishes.
Mm-hmm. Well, this problem, obviously, you followed the article of the Atomic Scientists Bulletin. Are they sort of engaging this thing of wanting to get some kind of uniform control observation by true scientists or whatnot of the problem you addressed, which is, do you want these labs around the world to be doing what they're doing, and are you ready to accept the risk? Is there a campaign?
There's not a campaign that I'm aware of. There seem to be two sides to this issue. There are some who are arguing that these risks are unacceptable, and that at least this is something that needs to be discussed within a public forum and not discussed only by scientists. Mm-hmm. And one would hope that in light of efforts and the desirability of looking at ways of reducing the likelihood of future pandemics, that a movement arose to start addressing some of these issues. Mm-hmm. Because there is, it is a legitimate question. Are these risks unacceptable? They may be so unacceptable that it's no longer appropriate to do research of this kind. Or it may be decided that there are other safeguards that can be imposed. For example, some people have suggested that you relocate these kinds of laboratories to sparsely populated areas.
On Mars, I hope.
Well, I mean, you could locate them to the countryside, where if a scientist becomes infected accidentally, that the chances of the scientist, shedding the virus or bacteria and infecting all kinds of other people, the chances are considerably reduced. But that's a discussion that ought to be had that isn't being had.
Yeah, and I guess just closing it, if we were to, we're obviously, we should be fighting for the bodies like, I believe, the World Health Organization and scientific community, et cetera. And so if Joe Biden wants to raise this, then our prime minister would have to say, following along your thoughts, is, all right, we need to talk about every bio lab, and we need to talk about that lab that got closed. And it's sort of like a trade-off. If you're going to talk about, you don't like so-and-so's lab in Wuhan, we're going to have to ask you and test your democratic credentials to tell us what happened in Wuhan. Let us go in there. We need to go in there to Fort Detrick. Because if we don't use that language, we're a bunch of chumps, right?
Yeah. But this reveals that this is simply, politics, and it has nothing to do with any kind of genuine interest in addressing the question of how to prevent future pandemics. It's so obviously about demonizing and discrediting a competitor.
Yeah.
And, one thing that struck me, you said open skies. Biden said during the campaign that he was opposed to Trump ending the Open Skies Treaty. And Biden, on so many levels, in so many regards, has simply repeated or followed in Trump's footsteps. I mean, the difference is that Biden doesn't have Trump's style. He has a more palatable style. But in many respects, he does exactly what Trump did. And this is simply repeating Trump again. I was astonished to discover that 12 months ago, the Trump administration has done exactly the same as Biden is doing now, which is send an order to the intelligence community saying, go out and gather the information I need to show that there was a leak at the Wuhan laboratory.
Yeah, ordering them to find something.
Yeah, so, and this is just redolent of what happened before the invasion of Iraq. Go find some evidence to suggest that Saddam Hussein is hiding
Yeah, if you're the career guy taking the orders, you know what you better bring back, or otherwise you're not going to be working it.
Yes, exactly.
If you come back and say, hey, there's nothing to it, you can relax. They would all look at you and say, well, you know, we'll resume the meeting without you.
Which is precisely why I expect at the end of 90 days, we'll get an assessment that says, no, we didn't find any evidence, but we assess that this happened based on our assessment.
Yes, the Saddam thesis. Mm-hmm. Well, Stephen Gowans, what's left? And then the title is The Politics of the Wuhan Lab Leak Hypothesis. Brilliant article. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thank you, Phil.
This is, I should say, Taylor Report, and we'll have a little bit more coming.